The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This episode of the Team Never Quit podcast is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal celebrates veterans of all branches and their families on Veterans Day and every day of the year. If you want to learn more about how they can help you, go visit NavyFederal.org.
SEALs wasn't my purpose. I think obviously being a father and a Christian is, but I think the Lord has put me on this planet to really see this business that we're creating of helping as many people as possible with their mental health, preventing suicide, empowering them to be the best version they can be as a Christian or a husband or, you know, a wife or a brother, etc. So
Team Never Quit Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the TNQ podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
Nobody wants to be the first person to respond.
Yeah, of course.
And then the faith thing as well. If it's not coming from us, like sometimes people are like, there's a small, probably a large contingent of folks that just don't want to, hey, I don't trust this person. I don't know this person. But if it's somebody that's cut from the same cloth, like, all right, what do you got to say? I'll give you an opportunity. So,
well, you said it perfect, man. If you don't know how to talk about it, because yeah. So, it's the one thing everyone has an idea about it. Yep. And then they got their own way about it.
Yep.
But it
it's not that way with anything else.
No.
That's why I'm going back to school, man. Yeah. It's like, you got to. The best way I heard it explained is this. It's like, hey, man, you know them guys that study martial arts from a book or watching TV, right? Yeah. And then when you finally walk into that school and have somebody train you, do it. That's completely different.
Totally.
Like, you were, might have been, you were a badass before you went in, but once you got into the teams, then you were lethal.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's just training.
Yep.
And the more comfortable you get at that, it's not something that you have to do anymore. It's just you become that, right? Yep. That's just kind of what happens to us. And the way we train definitely brings that.
Yeah.
So you're just going to apply this side to that. Because in the beginning, like, we're body guys, obviously, and our mental prowess as well.
Yep.
It's a lethal combination. But don't ever bring that other part in. We never talked about it.
No.
Ever.
No.
Guys are so far away from it. Even the religious guys didn't even talk about it.
That's right.
And you knew who they were. They're like, man, he's a freaking Bible thumper, but you never talked about it.
No. So true.
I mean, that's just how it was. I was on the phone with Matt Lenig earlier, man. And the guy sends me scripture every freaking morning. Mm. Like, he's the best at it. Like, man, we just never trained in it. You get good at it. Yeah. And then you start applying scripture into whatever it is walks through the door.
Yep.
Like, if some team guy walks in there, we'll talk team guy, but I'm hitting you with the word.
That's right.
And then they hear that.
Yeah.
And then you learn how to mix it up.
That's right.
That's the best part about it, man.
Sounds like he's got us on similar paths right now.
Yeah.
Right now I'm pretty good at journaling, but I just switched it up. So we do a verse every morning. Allison and I sit down every morning when we're home together, or if we're not, we still do it separate, but we get the verse and then we journal around it every morning, just trying to like, hey, what does this mean to us, to our family, to me personally? And I feel, if I'm being honest, I feel like an infant right now, like fumbling my way through it. I'm like, I don't quite know what I'm doing. Like you said out there, but I'm doing it. and we're competitive and we are who we are. So we're going to keep getting better at it. And most importantly, we're going to get to a spot where we're comfortable with sharing it. And that's, I think
I'm
getting there.
The manual, dude.
Yep.
Like, you got to come out like a child.
Yeah.
Cause if you come in with your ego and bravado trying to do it, it doesn't work. That's you literally right. have to start all the way over like a kid learning as a child does, which means it's not supposed to be hard.
Yep.
It's kind of a baby step process. And then you grow in the faith and in the word, you get good at it. And you just freaking wield it. Then it just becomes a part of you. It's all that comes out of your mouth.
That's right.
Like all that crazy stuff that we talk about, and it just goes away. You refill it with what this is. Yeah, we're on the same path, man.
Tomorrow we're filming all day back in Denver, but we have everything from doctors, like our psychs. We're going to do breath work. There's the guys with, like, you know, Moose?
Yeah.
Okay, so Moose and I went to Buzz together, dear friend of mine. I got another story about Moose, but actually I'll just share it real quick. I had done medicine back in 2018, and the first person I called was Moose. And he says he was with Melissa, and they were at a soccer game. And I called him literally like hours out of it. Like, whenever the first call I could get, obviously Allison, and then Moose was my, I call him. And he took the call, and he said, this is him telling me afterwards. He hung up, and Melissa looked at him and was like, "You okay?" He was like, "Yeah, that was just a weird call." And she was like, "Who was that?" She was like, "Johnny." She says, "Well, what's wrong?" She goes, "I think he lost his mind. I had just done Ibogaine, but I planted the seed, right?" And because I was talking about love and how I'm sorry and the perspective I have, dude. And I wasn't a good friend. And we're like, I've seen the light. I've witnessed our Lord. And then that was enough for him, like 6 months later, to do it. And I was able to go down there and sit with him. And he had a photo, like, mean mugging, big black beard all the way down to his belly, and he was just mean mugging. And he came out of that afterwards, just like, I sat there and I got to see. He was one of the first people I got to see, just crying, watching him come out of this and this path that he's on now. But we're gonna get guys like Moose, and the dojo guys are going to be on the app. So you want breath work? Cool. You got breath work. You want the scripture? We're going to give you a lot of scripture from our priest and, you know, myself. And if you all want to be on the app too, it's just like, we just want to get the word out there.
Man, you just stack it with hard chargers and get their perspective on the, like, you send out, like, every morning they'll log in, and then it'll give them the scripture, and then be like, "Hey, what do you, tell me what that got in you, sparked in you."
Yep.
Have them write that out. So everyone can just, that's wisdom.
That's right.
You know what I mean? It kind of, it opens that up, and then it just rolls, then it grows.
And you know how many people would want to hear your thoughts on scripture? Your thoughts on scripture, like warrior families, like on scripture? How many people outside of our community too, just that looks up to us, that, man, I could see that. So that's what we're doing. That's what Envy is. So I'd love to spend time on that. But honestly, whatever you all want to talk about, I'm happy to.
I think I got my aura ring from you.
Cool.
when I was going to
oh, you did.
I went to Beyond as part of the spouses retreat.
Yeah.
But I feel like I didn't earn it, because the night that I got there, I got the flu, and they wouldn't give me Ibogaine. So I got your aura ring.
Oh, it's yours. Yeah.
But I use it.
Yeah, perfect.
And it actually. It was
That. Yeah. Tom was like, "Hey, I think your friend," I had talked to Tom Fiegel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got super sick, but it gave some feedback that was very interesting, because they kept thinking I was just scared and like making myself, kind of psyching myself up to be sick. And I'm like, "I'm not scared. I am so prepared for this. I know about Ibogaine better than like facilitators at this point. Like, I know Ibogaine. My husband's done it 4 freaking times." I was not scared at all. I was legitimately feeling like total shit. And the aura ring showed that I had a fever.
Yep.
And I showed them, because I was like, "I am actually sick. I need medicine." So then they tried to give me fluids. They could not find my veins. They had to get me a PICC line.
Oh my gosh.
In Mexico to get fluids in me.
Oh my gosh.
It was so, I called him crying. I'm like, "I don't know why this happened to me." But the aura ring was actually, could show that I really was sick, and it wasn't just a fear-based like psyche thing. Sure. So I appreciated that.
Yeah, that thing is so, they're so accurate now. So our app pulls, it doesn't matter what you got, an Aura, Garmin, Fitbit. it could tell 48 hours before people get the flu through skin temperature increase. So if your skin temperature increases by a degree, it picks it up and it knows before you show any symptoms that you're about to get sick. And oh, by the way, with all the stuff that we're doing with our doctors now, like we can detect when you're starting to get close to depression, anxiety. Oh, wow. So we're doing all that with rings now, but now we're doing it with voice. So through pitch, not voice. So you can try to yell or pretend you're sad. It doesn't matter. It's pitch. In 13 seconds of you talking, and we'll only get better from here, we can detect depression and anxiety. So now we can get ahead of it. It's like, all right, you know, Marcus isn't doing well. Like we got to, you know, let's get ahead of this. The idea is if we can be proactive versus like most of the industry around mental health is reactive, you're messed up and you finally succumb to like, okay, I'm suicidal. I'm going to raise my hand. We can see symptoms in your biometrics telling us that you're about to get there so we can treat it before you get there.
Yeah, it showed that it's nuts. Like under distress or whatever. Yeah. Like I forget what the words were, but I was not doing good.
Have you done Ibogaine? You didn't
I didn't do it. The thing is, while I was there, I called Marcus and I called my cousin Renee, who I trust wholeheartedly, and she's very well versed in all of this and in me. She knows me like.
So maybe that was the medicine crazy. Saying.
She said, this is the medicine saying you don't need to do it.
Totally.
And Marcus said the same thing without them talking to each other. Yep. And the other person I called, even though I was at Beyond, I called Trevor.
Oh, okay.
At Ambio. Because we're good friends. He comes and stays here all the time. And I was like, Trevor. And he knew I was going to Beyond.
Yeah.
He knew. He was praying for me for my journey and everything. And I said, should I do it? And he said, no, this is the medicine saying you don't need it. All three of them said the same thing. And I'm like, I'm done. I don't need that. Yeah. I'm not doing this. But I have done 5-MeO.
Okay.
And I did that years before. And it was amazing. I went straight to heaven. It was super beautiful and peaceful. And I'll never do it again. But
never say never.
It was great.
I said the same thing with Ibogaine, and I'm on my, not fourth, but third.
Yeah.
And it's been about 2 years, so I'm feeling.
It was great. I hope got three I never in have to do it again.
Bro, I showed up from the fourth one. It graduated me.
Like an actual graduation.
Well, I got locked in. I had my earbuds in. I was downloading the gospel, all the gospels. So as soon as I took the pill, I turned the gospels on. James Earl Jones, I freaking laid down. And I locked in. It put me through all of that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, congratulations, I'm done with you. You graduated, and it released me. It goes, just lay here till you get to Acts. That happened.
Till you get to Acts.
Can you believe that? So I had to lay there.
I can believe that.
Through the whole thing. And it wasn't like the other ones.
Yeah.
That first one damn near killed me.
Same. That one, there was demons.
Everything, bro.
Yeah.
But it's funny. It's like, congratulations, you graduated. Gave me a whole ceremony and everything like that. And I was like,
you got a degree? Where's the degree?
God,
see that. I know.
You should get a degree.
You should have gotten a degree from Trevor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Team Never Quit podcast. As always, thank you guys so much for listening and watching. And please don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button wherever you're getting the show. So today, it is the new year's of 2026. Thank you guys. And we're very excited to see what we have in store. Well, with that being said, let's kick it off to our weekly Patreon question. And this week, I think this question about answers that. What is your 2026 New Year's resolutions?
Well, everybody's is always to lose weight, whatever. Yes, I know I need to lose weight. But my thing is, I have to get ready for our 100-mile walk. We are doing a family, the entire family, including Hunter and his girlfriend. We are all doing the Camino de Santiago. It's a Catholic pilgrimage, or it's a pilgrimage. I mean, people of all walks of life do it. But it's, you can do it as long as like 500 miles. We're doing the short one because we have teenagers. So we're only doing the 100-mile, but
we're blaming them.
Those teenagers.
Yeah, we are doing that this summer, so I have to get ready for that. So I'm eating really good and walking a lot every day, trying to prep for that. That's my resolution, to get in good enough shape where I will not get hurt or too fatigued during our 100-mile walk.
It's amazing.
What you got?
Mine's it's to get closer with God, so turn it all over to Him. And I struggle with that with my ego and having done plant medicine. I still recognize I struggle with that. So it is truly to take the next step with God.
Good.
Yeah, that's my follow-on too. I'm same way. I started in 25, but that was it, to get closer, and I've stayed on the path ever since. And mm-hmm. then every year, every day, it seems like it's changing. So just to keep it.
Yep.
Because it's hard for us. And I think that's by design, man, because a lot of our teammates, when I talk to them about this, they struggle with it. I was like, I do too. Well, that got to kind of be a thing then, right?
Mm.
So, yeah, we're getting ready for the Camino. So I'm trying to be just turned 50. Mm-hmm. So the workouts change, my diet's changed, my hair's getting thin, my friggin', dude, I mean, it came, my eyesight started blurring up a little bit in the morning. Yeah. I'm like, it's like you get hit, right? Trying to shake it off a little bit. Typical team guy, I'm like, no, it's not getting old. Yeah. I'm just being a...
He goes, is your hair thinning? I said, yeah. And he goes, mine is too. What's wrong? I said, we're getting old.
Yeah. Dude, we were just doing that training with the Houston SWAT guys. And I walked out of, after the course, my knee just gives out. Oh, and that's I'm walking with my buddy about. Josh. And he's like, what happened? Are you okay? I'm like, dude, this is just another Monday, dude. Like, this happens all the time.
It's when you start talking out loud to yourself. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
What just happened there?
Yeah.
I know you've heard us talking about staying sharp in the gym, on the job, or just getting through the chaos of everyday life. But honestly, there's one thing that's made such a big difference for me lately, and it's hydration. And I've been using Drip Drop nonstop through that. Whether I'm training, traveling, or just powering through this Texas summer, Drip Drop keeps me locked in. It's doctor developed and delivers 3 times the electrolytes with half the sugar those other big sports drinks. You can actually feel the difference so fast. It's less fatigue, better focus, and there's no crash. And the flavors are so, so good. I'm absolutely locked in on the lemon lime. It just hits every single time. They've got over 16 original flavors plus 8 zero sugar options. So there's something for everybody out there. I've tried the 11 other electrolyte powders, but there's really nothing that works or tastes like Drip Drop. It's trusted by pros, first responders, and even military teams, so you know it's the real deal. And with flexible subscriptions, I have really never run out. It's always in my gym bag, I've got some in the car, or even just in my suitcase at all times. Right now, Drip Drop is offering Team Never Quit listeners 20% off your first order. So go to dripdrop.com and use our promo code TNQ to get 20% off of your first order. That is dripdrop.com with promo code TNQ for your first 20% off. Stock up now before the heat hits really hard.
How old are you now?
45. So we're about to hit 46.
You're on the backslide.
Yeah. And to your point, the vision thing, that's happened recently too. Like, it takes me a while and I'm in the bathroom and like the lights, the bulbs, what's going on with the bulb? It's not me.
No,
it's everything else. Yeah, I'm like, did we paint? Like, I can't see what's going on here. Nope. We're getting old.
I'm 46. But the week I turned 45, I realized I needed readers. That was so hard for me. I'm like, because I've always had perfect eyesight.
Yeah.
But reading something really small, I'm like squinting my eyes and pulling it away from me.
Yeah.
It's hard to come to grips with those realities for sure.
We just saw him. He's a team guy. I went to a buddy with. He's training all the tactical stuff for the Houston SWAT, and we came in and we were helping him with the mental resilience. But like a decade ago, I saw him and I was complaining about something. I had just had some injury and he's like, dude, you got the AGE. And I'm like, the AGE? What is that? He's like, it's age, buddy.
Yeah.
And that was 10 years ago. Like, but we just saw him like 2 hours ago. But that always stuck with me. He's like, yeah, we're getting old.
It's like, yeah, I've had an AGE. What is that? What are you talking about? Like, no, like the real one. Like the one everybody gets one, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's too funny.
That is good. That's good stuff, man.
What about you, buddy? Yours?
Probably to do, I want to just have a really nice new experience every single month and be able to story tell that and put it out there, but really just try and experience something that I haven't done, something every month that is extraordinary.
He came back from Australia last night.
I got something for you. You can get your ass out there and cut that pasture. You ain't never done that.
Experience. Yes, I did.
I experience for you, man. I got the tractor up for you.
I did that at the ranch all summer.
Yeah, that's great. Where'd you go in Australia?
So Sydney for the New Year's Eve fireworks.
Okay.
Best in the world. It was incredible.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. And then kind of hopped around with the cans, Whit Sundays, and finished in Melbourne.
Oh, that's so cool. My daughters, so one graduated high school and the other one graduated college.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. She's in law school now. So Madison.
Oh, awesome. Great job.
Yeah, she's, and when we all first got to know each other, she was probably like two. I mean, been a hot minute. Aww. But they all went out there. So we flew them out there and they were sending, I've never been to Australia, but the photos were just amazing.
It's incredible.
Like, I'm so happy that we're in a place that we're able to give that gift to our children. You know what I mean? Like I never
Isn't
had
great?
That, but it's a blessing.
Mm-hmm. I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
Being able to, the stuff we didn't have, being able to give that to them.
Yep.
For sure.
But he probably should cut that pasture.
He's going to get on it now. He said, I heard him say that.
Yeah.
Kitchen needs to be clean, son. I got the experience for you. I'm going to call him up in the middle of the night, like, rent's due. Yeah, that was a good question. Well, all right, man. Well, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
The way we start this out, I'd like to back up a little bit and tell everybody where you're from, kind of where you were born, and we'll go from there. So where did you grow up?
So my dad was in the Army, so I'm an Army brat, but born in Fort Hood. So
in the Hood?
Yep. Oh, wow.
Really?
That's right. So Killeen guy, spent a few years there. My mom's from Panama, the country, not Panama City, Florida, but Panama. And they probably met when he was down there on deployment, but they ended up getting married. And so my next trip was down to Panama. And I was pretty young to remember that. But I'm going to take our kids, talking of kids, we're going to take the whole family down there. And I haven't been there in 20 some odd, probably 30 years, to be honest with you. So that's going to be an experience I'm really excited about. Kind of bounced all over. Bangor, Maine, Stephen King, the author, lives there. And there's an old like Gothic house, exactly what you would think Stephen King lives in. That was his house. I spent time in the Netherlands. My dad took a duty station over there. And then my high school years is kind of where I remember most that was in Clarksville, Tennessee. So Fort Campbell, Kentucky. So I grew up in Fort Campbell, I would say.
And what made you want to become a SEAL?
Yeah, so back to that Fort Campbell days. So Clarksville, first girlfriend. Clarksville is a rural town. It's no longer that. I mean, everything, you know, you rewind however long ago that was, we had nothing. It was the military folks, and then you had like the farmers. And a good buddy of mine had a property that we used to always go drink at and party at and, you know, have big bonfires on his dad's property, on his farm. And I had my first girlfriend. Life was good. Like, I was just, everything was going great. And my dad at the time took a deployment. So this is obviously pre-war, but he took a deployment to Kuwait. And that's a year-long deployment, and get the call in the house. And he's like, hey, son, I'm getting you tickets. You're going to come out and visit me. I was like, Dad, I don't think you understand. Like, I got my first girlfriend. Like, the party scene's on point. He's like, that's great. Pack your stuff. You're leaving next week. And I was probably 14 at the time, maybe a little bit older. And I remember going out there and just acting like, I have a 14-year-old right now in the house. So how he can occasionally act, I'm like, man, he's paying it, you know, he's paying it back for all the things I used to do with my dad. But I show up to Kuwait, and the first couple of days, I'm just pouting, wishing I was back home, ignoring my dad, and just looking out the window. And I'm like, on the third day, we come onto the compound that he's at, or the base, and there's a gate closing, and it was all black. It was like a wire gate, but it was blacked out. So it was just closing. I caught it long enough to see a bunch of dudes with beards, with tattoos, no shirts, weights, guns. I mean, it was like every kid's dream. You're like, I don't know what that was, but that's cool. Like, Dad, that's when I piked up. I was like, Dad, what was that? And I thought it was SEALs. My dad course corrected me. He's like, it's actually the 5th 5th Special Forces guys. I think he was just saying that to be confrontational. We were talking about it the other day. I still think it's SEALs. He said it was a fifth group guys. Nevertheless, he took me over there, being the dad that he was, and introduced me to those guys. And I got to spend a couple weeks with them, just better getting to understand their culture, their community. And I was like, this is it. This is what I wanted to do. I did have a swimming background. There was no contact sports when we lived in the Netherlands. So my dad put me into swimming with my sister. I got one sibling. She's 5 years younger than me. So we were on the swim team. So I think it was like the swimming aspect of it, plus the camaraderie of whatever that was, the teams or the Green Berets. And I inevitably landed on a book that I found from Vietnam, the Frogman book. And
amen.
I was like, hey, brother, what is this? And I read that and I was like,
game changer.
This is it. This is what I want to be. And everything pivoted to that. Like, I became a lifeguard so I could spend extra time on the pool. I played football, but sucked at cardio. So I would run 4 miles from my house in Clarksville to the football field and 4 miles back. And I just got super locked on trying to be a SEAL.
That's awesome. I love when it's that like 14, 15 year old age range. And it's like, okay, this is it. Fire in the gut and you're not going back.
Yeah.
Changes you.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like, what is this? Yep, this is it. And now everything else was noise. Like, get out of the way.
Isn't that funny? You see them guys tatted up, beards, all freaking muscled up, guns. It's either a prison gang or some freaking SF guys.
Yeah. And the short shorts, too.
Well, the short shorts was like, a biker gang, right? Yeah. Like, hey, man, I want to do that. And you're like, yeah. Oh, how great.
Yeah.
Did you lose your girlfriend?
Yeah, I don't even remember her name, but yeah, totally. But it was worth it. I can tell you.
Yeah.
It was worth it. Yep.
That's funny. So what, did you just get a contract right out of high school?
So I ended up getting into the academy. So I went to the academy prep school, and that was Newport, Rhode Island. What's that?
Good for you, man.
Yeah. Well, this is, my grades were okay. So here's what happened. I had good grades up until I got in, and then I didn't do the last semester of high school. And today, like with all the technology they have, they would have caught on to that, and I would have gotten today I would have never even gotten close to being accepted to the academy. But I got in nonetheless, and I went to the academy prep school in Newport, Rhode Island. And my head was just on one thing. Let's go party. Like, we're here. Once I got to know the guys there, that's all we did. We go down to Thames Street, which is like downtown Newport, and they didn't card. So we're like 18, 19 year old kids down there just having a time of our life. And there's like, it was just a good scene. You have to have a 2.0 to go to the academy. I had a 2.07.
Oh my gosh.
So I was able to go. But it came down to like, I screwed off for 95% of my time at the academy prep school. And the last 5% was like, you got to get this grade, this grade, or you're not going. And I got that grade, that grade. And I was able to just get in. But I still had that mindset. I lost focus. And when I got to the academy, it was the same mindset. Like, hey, let's go party. Let's have a good time. And I lost focus on the prize, and that was being a team guy. So I think the Lord, looking back now, is probably teaching me a lesson. But I got caught with a fake ID card. Honor offense, you're gone. So from that point on, I hit one of my lowest points. And for me, I was just lost. I didn't know, like, I had worked so hard to have this dream of going to the academy, being a SEAL. And then I just gave it all away for something stupid. I was like ashamed, and I was beating myself up. And then one day I woke up and was like, do something about it. Like, you can either sit here and sulk, or you can do something about it. And I worked my ass off for about a year to get back in, and the academy said no. Fair enough. But I had a backup plan. If that wasn't going to work, I was going to go and listen to the teams. And I thought that was the idea. And initially they said, you can't do that either because you're a degenerate that got kicked out of the academy. Even the Navy doesn't want you, John Wilson.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I had to go sit down with as many people as I could. I finally got a congressman to vouch for me. He vouched for me and put his brand and his name behind me. Yeah, he was a Tennessee congressman. God, I wish I could have his letter. Oh, I forgot his name, but if it comes to me, I'll mention his name. He changed the course for me. And then once the Navy said you're green lit, then it was like right back on to where I was back in high school. It was like no girls, no booze, working out, two-a-days, swimming. Like, I'm not going to screw this up a second time.
That's good. Was that what, 99?
Yeah, that was roughly right around there, yeah.
Yeah. So pre-war.
This is pre-war.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bro, I had a guy in my buds class, got boarded, and he was on the way out. And they go, can you just tell me anything redeeming about yourself? Like anything happened in the past or anything? He's like, well, I got kicked out of the Naval Academy. He's like, you're in. They kept me because of that.
No kidding.
He enlisted. Yeah, the Master Chief was like, freaking hate Academy guys. And he's a badass SEAL too.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'll never forget that story. Got boarded. And he's like, well, I went to the Naval Academy, but I got kicked out. Well, so when you came in, what class?
So I ended up coming in Buds class 252. And that was like 03.
Yeah.
And then I was just talking to Trey Lindsay, who I mentioned, we were just doing some training for the Houston SWAT guys. He was one of the original guys too. So there was, we don't know the number. He said there was 16 of us and 170. My number is like 17 of us and 217. Anyways, we were one of the original crew. Which was awesome.
That's how you say that.
Yeah.
Was Kendall in that class?
Kendall was one of the OGs as well.
Okay.
And speaking of the 100 miler we were just talking about, like we did some, he left your guys' place, drove there, and then hopped in that run with me, the 24-hour. That's right.
That was after your birthday.
So that's right after you just finished your fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Now I'm piecing it all together. He literally left. I was like, dude, I need to start here because I have a meeting at 5 p.m. the next day. He's like, all right, I'll be there as soon as I can.
Yeah.
And he got there and we hopped in and we, 24 hours straight, we just ran and I had shorts and t-shirts because in my head, I'm like, this is Texas. That was the coldest I've ever been in my life, man. It was the weekend where we're running through San Antonio and those high rises. We kept going to Alamo and back to where he lives or close by. And every time we hit those high rises, it was like a funnel just hitting you.
Oh, wind, dude.
And we did probably like 30 miles, 40 miles. And then one of the guys we were running with, he's a pastor there, a good friend of his, of Kendall's. Sorry to take us on this tangent, but I'll just tell you this quick story. And he has a backpack and he's like, hey man, you look cold. I'm like, yeah, I'm cold. He's like, I got an extra puffball in my, I was like, you.
And you had like two gloves the whole time? Yeah,
this team from Dumb and Dumber. I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? So I threw that puffball and I was like, oh, this is a game changer. I could do this all 200 miles. Let's go.
You know, these days, it feels like every time you check the news, it's just more uncertainty. And look, we can't control the world, but we can take control of our family's future. That's why I want to talk to you about life insurance through SelectQuote. Whether you need $500,000 or $50 million in coverage, SelectQuote helps you find the right policy for you. They're not some one-size-fits-all operation. They're actually licensed insurance agents that work with you to tailor a plan that fits your life and your budget. And best part, it only takes about 15 minutes of your time. They've been doing this for nearly 40 years, helped over 2 million people, and have secured over $700 billion in coverage since 1985. And if you've got a health condition, high blood pressure, diabetes, even heart disease, SelectQuote still partners with carriers that can cover you. And if you're in good health, you might even get same-day coverage with no medical exam required. Get the right life insurance for you for less at SelectQuote.com/TNQ. Go to SelectQuote.com/TNQ today to get started. That is SelectQuote.com/TNQ.
Hunter actually supported Kendall in Norway.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Was it last year or the year before?
It was 2 years ago now.
The Norseman.
Yeah, that was insane.
Yeah. Hunter was support crew.
He pisses me off. So his nickname was Tuna. I don't know if you guys know that.
What was it?
Tuna, because he was a swimmer, but like good.
Yeah.
So in Buds, he was the fastest. You got all these like Olympic swimmers, these NC2A, and then you got Tuna, Kendall-O, just like swimming and just crushing dudes. And I remember when we started doing these, like every year we do this like challenge similar to what you all are about to embark on. Like I just like 3 years ago, I was just like, hey, we need something to like make sure we don't get complacent. And we ended up doing like a 10-mile swim and a 200-mile run with plates, or a walk if we're being honest. That was the first one. But that's the first time I got to swim with Kendall since he lost his arm. My ego is a mother effer. Mm. And when he starts passing me with one arm, I'm like this. And I'm like in an all-out sprint. And this dude's just like.
He's like a dory.
Yeah, he's just.
It's like a rudder down there now.
Dude. Yeah, and I'm like, I'm at 99%. If I give 100%, I'm going to pass out. But I'm at 99% just trying to keep up with this dude. He is so fast. It's nuts.
He was still crushing everybody. I mean, there's about a 2-mile swim.
In the freezing cold, in Norway,
in the fjords, mm-hmm. and he's just filled with all these extra triathlon swimmers, and he's just passing them up. I mean, he finished top 20 of all the swimmers there.
He's nuts, man!
Freaking great, dude.
Yeah,
that his story, that him losing that arm,
yeah,
is probably the funniest team guy story I've ever heard.
Marcus has.
I gave myself
ever
a hernia.
Laughed.
I laughed so hard. Bro, it's right here. I gave myself a hernia. I laughed so hard.
He laughed for days story of the guys with the arm in the fridge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the minibar.
Marcus laughed harder at that than I've ever heard him laugh ever.
I'm glad you could laugh about it because those hotel rooms were under my name.
Really? Oh.
So when the cops showed up.
That's even better that I know that now.
When the cops showed up and they're like, hey, and I knew some of them, and I'm like, you know, I was sober there, and I was just like trying to control Danny Nisbet and all these dudes, and these guys are just like, I'm like, God damn, you're not controlling this chaos. But the cops show up, and they're like, hey, is Jonathan Wilson here? I'm like, oh my God, what?
They got my name.
I'm like, that is me. And they're like, hey, we need to talk to you. And they're like, they're really? Posturing. I'm like, oh my God, what? Why does this always, is like, I'm showing hands. I'm like, guys, I don't know what's going on, but he's like, hey, we need to have a word with you. And there's like, they're posturing around me, and they're just, it finally comes out. There's like, hey, the cleaning ladies were clean. I feel so bad.
I feel sorry for the cleaning ladies.
I feel sorry for her, man.
The cleaning ladies were cleaning the fridge out, and they opened and they found an arm. Like, we need to have a word with you. And I'm like, oh, no, guys. Is that it? Is that what you got? Oh, we're good, Dad, because let me tell you what's going on. And we finally talked them down. They're like, okay. Like, you can see it in their heads, like, this shouldn't be normal, but this guy is, like, treating this.
So that's what tickled me. It wasn't Kendall losing his arm. Yeah. I was upset about that. It was you. Yeah. And what happened to y'all with the freaking hand in the mini bar, and the maid found it. And I immediately put those two team guy scenarios together, and it... Dude, it tickled my funny bone. I could not stop laughing. I could put myself there with y'all going,
oh, yeah.
Okay, we had the hand, and we were just taking some funny pictures with it, and then we got drunk and left it in the minibar, and I was so hungover, I forgot about it. Dude, I mean, it freaking sent me off.
Dude, it was that. I forgot about that.
Marcus actually laughed in his sleep.
I woke myself up laughing. I thought that was the funniest. I still do, man. What happened to y'all with that? I mean, God bless you. You got out of it, but...
For our listeners, you can go back to the Aaron Kendall episode and listen to that entire story.
It wasn't him. It was you that got me.
The scenario.
Well, he contributed, obviously, with his hand. But other than that, he didn't do much.
So good.
That is so funny.
Yeah, we love you, Kendall. He's straight up badass. Even one arm, man.
Any crazy bud stories?
I was here with Kendall.
What's your hardest phase?
That's a great question. All right. So that, you know, for me, I always tell people to this day, it's like, how do you make it through? And I don't know how other people make it through. For me, I just gave myself one option. Like in my head is like, hey, there is no other option. You die or that works for me in life. Like I've been told no so many times and I'll figure out another way. That door closes. Let me go to the back door. Back door, I'll go through a window, man. I'll breach. I'll climb to the roof. I'll go. That works for me. But so the hardest phase for me was third phase. And it was the first couple of days of third phase when we were on San Clemente.
Man.
So it lined up perfectly where Thanksgiving and Christmas happened right before I went to San Clemente.
You were that class.
Yeah.
All right.
So we're out there and we're crushing, you know, crush second phase, the first part of third phase. We're out there doing land nav and crushing that in Laguna. Everything is going great. And then we hit Thanksgiving and the instructor's like, hey, you guys are about to graduate. Like, we're going to throttle back. We're going to treat you like the men that you guys are. Okay. And you're a little skeptical at first. You're like, but they start showing up like that. And it's like, hey, leading up, you know, in 2 weeks, you guys are going to Thanksgiving. And then when you guys come back, we'll do a couple training. Then you guys go home for Christmas. And then when you guys come back, that's when we hit to San Clemente. And then we'll wrap this gentleman's course. So, yeah, essentially, it's a gentleman's course now, and you guys are good to go. And after the first couple weeks, right when we went to Thanksgiving, I was like, okay, maybe this is for real. And then we get back from Thanksgiving, and they're like high-fiving us and like hanging out with us. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? But I kind of like put my guard down, went into Christmas, came back from Christmas, and they're still being super kind to us. And we get on that plane, we land on that plane, and they beat the living piss out of us. And that was the first time. San Clemente, off the coast of California, San Clemente Island, it was raining. And it's cold, but I mean, it's not like you're in Alaska cold, but it is just like this wet, dreary little like condensation. You're just shivering constantly. Plus the instructor's just like, again, like the what do they call where we put the cargo?
The flights.
And I remember thinking that was the fleet. It was a fleeting thought, but I was like, man, I don't know. Like this is proper.
How about that third phase? Like it never goes away.
No.
People think, oh, you quit in the beginning. Shit, you can quit last day.
Hardest phase was third phase. They were relentless on us. That was it. We got past like part of it was like, I'm in Texas, Tennessee. I was living in Tennessee. So you got pecan pie. I ate a little too much, I'll admit. And I showed up a little too sloppy and they beat it out of me. Like 48 hours later, I was fine. But, yeah, that was it for, that was tough. There was another funny story, like the final Monster Mash. So
on the island?
Yep. On the island. So for everybody, I guess that was like where it's just a culmination of events, shooting, swimming, you're swimming with the ruck, you're running, you're doing ruck runs. And it was a gnarly day that day. So the waves were like, I don't know how big they were, but I say 10 feet, they were probably like 2 feet, but how I remember this, it was so bad that guys were breaking collarbones. Like a good buddy of mine broke his collarbone, got rolled out. So I think it was closer to 10 feet than it was two, but I'm born in Texas, raised in Tennessee, hadn't been in the ocean much. And I just like the good Lord on that day was like, Johnny, I'm going to give you that extra push that you need. And I was just like, didn't know how to time waves or nothing. I just started swimming. I was like, you know what? I'll stop here for a second. Yeah, I'm going in. And I go in and the wave gently sets me down. Meanwhile, like it's like a scene of D-Day. There's bodies on the beach and there's like ambush and people are getting treated because no kidding, we lost a couple guys that day to broken bones. I take off and I just start running and I'm in the zone. I haven't been in a zone like this ever in Buds. I crush that. I get to the range. I start just hitting steel and like hitting targets. I'm just like, what is going on, man? Like, because that was good, but I wasn't great. You know, I mean, there's some dudes that were just stellar. That was my day. Finally come out and I can't remember what we did, but I remember it was a water evolution, a run to the chow hall with the rope climb. And then we had to do rope climb and pull-ups. And I'm leading by a mile. Like there's nobody even in sight. And I'm just like feeling it. And the ego starts flaring up and I get to the rope and the instructor's like, holy crap, Johnny, like, you know, or whatever, Wilson, crushing it today, you know, great job. He's like, but you're gonna hop on that rope with those booties. And I look at him and I wink and I was like, yeah, I got it. And I go up with booties. I got within like 2 feet and I swift and I missed and I just went burnt my hands. He was like, I hit the bottom and then blood in the water. Another team guy, Ryan Peters, Sneaky Pete, saw me. And when he saw me miss, he took off like a bat out of hell, sprinted. I'm trying to get my boots on now because I can't climb it with booties. My hands are like, I got second degree burns on these things. And now I'm climbing. He hops on the rope. He's fresh. He climbs up, hits it. We hit the same time. He comes down. I'm like gently going down because my hands are on fire, literally on fire. He hops on the pull-up bar. He's like a couple seconds ahead of me. He beat me.
Oh my gosh.
He beat me. That was the one time I was like, dude, this is the one time I'm going to win it.
It's going to be mine.
Yep. Ego is a mother effer.
Dude, those freaking dive booties.
Oh my gosh, I should have known better. I thought I was just in the zone. I was like, I got this. Even with I probably didn't wink at the instructor, but that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Anyways. I wanted to wink at him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah, but that's...
That all sounds so miserable to me.
It is. This place sucks.
Yeah. I'm curious, do you, when you think back on it, like there's part of me that thinks back and it's just like people ask how it was. And when you do something hard, sometimes you block out how hard it was. And you're like, it wasn't that bad. I mean, does that... I mean, do you remember the crappy, the shitty parts of it?
If someone tells me to remember yeah. it, I will.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's blocked out. And then the way you know it was bad is because people died or got broken or quit.
Yeah.
Especially that far down the line.
Yeah, that's right.
And just the chaos, the mental chaos, the flights, Camp Stupid.
Camp Stupid.
Then
forgot about that.
The freaking pull-ups and rope climb right before chow.
Yep.
And every day the number would go up.
Yeah.
You had all your canteens filled up and they would check them and you'd like tap those canteens. I was like, oh, dude. I didn't want to eat just so I could be lighter, so I could get to the number, man.
That's right.
And
we got good at like cutting corners, cheating, whatever you want to call it.
However
like,
you could slice like, it, man.
I'm not eating today. Why aren't you eating?
Done.
Because I can't do all the pull-ups, man. Like I gotta
I'm hoping to get another two without two pull-ups just by missing the last two meals, that kind of thing. And we had one guy, man, Connor, he could bang 200 push-ups out like it was no big deal.
Really?
Yeah, he was amazing. And he got us out of some stuff. Because, you know, out there, the instructors will bet you. Like, hey, if you guys can do this, we got to share our Frog Hill runs and flights, though. And then some of the guys had to punch out over the ocean with it.
Yep.
For being, just because instructors are awesome. I mean, just because they're awesome dudes. Ronald, man, where'd you go after that? What team did you go? Where'd they send you?
So, team four.
Hey, Ronald.
Yeah. And so I showed up there and we ended up going to Baghdad.
Yeah.
So I did back to back to Baghdad. We did biop there. And then the second rotation was, we were one of the task force there. So, task force 17. And both were great. Great deployments, man. It's like what we wanted, what team guys want when they come in. Like we had, like we were doing DAs, hostage rescues. I mean, we were operating damn near every night, sometimes 2 days. Like it was kind of what a young frog man wants, right? Like you signed up for something and couldn't ask for more.
Yeah.
You know, I really respect when a company genuinely supports the military community, not just with words, but with real benefits. And that's why I love Navy Federal Credit Union. They offer exclusive perks to all their members. And if you're a veteran, active duty, or part of a military family, you can join. And it's not just you. It's your parents, your grandparents, siblings, and kids. They can all become members too. Members could save around $461 a year with their discounts and offers. Plus, you can get access to financial advice, money management tools, and 24/7 award-winning service. They've got competitive rates on auto, home, and personal loans. Whenever I financed my home last year, I had such solid options, it just made everything so much easier. Navy Federal's been doing this for 90 years, helping military families in everything from everyday banking to big life purchases. So whether you served in the Army, Marine Corps, Navy, Air Force, Space Force, or the Coast Guard, you and your family can become members. Just head on over to NavyFederal.org to join. Navy Federal Credit Union, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by the NCUA. Value claim based on Navy Federal's 2024 member give back study, equal housing lender.
So, how long did you stay in the teams?
So, I did those two deployments, and then I did trade at. And I got out. And at the time, so married, and we have 5 kids now. So
good for you, man.
Yeah. So we were just like, you were at a spot where we're just like, hey, let's, you know, we've lost a lot of friends. You know, we've gotten lucky. Maybe it's time to get out. And I agreed. So we got out. And that was the hardest thing. Like leaving this community, leaving the purpose, the brotherhood, the I mean, all things that I know you know too well. For me, everybody's congratulating me because you're like, you're going to Goldman Sachs. And like, I had no business being in New York City or trading at Goldman. But in my head, I was like, what's the next hardest thing? Like, I need, that's how like my brain thinks is like, what's the most elite of the elite? I want to go do that. And what's the purpose? Make as much money. I can get behind that. Cool. And I couldn't get behind making money is like my purpose. I need to serve. But I went there and I struggled through it for a bit. And from that experience, I started talking to other team guys and realized it's not just me that struggles with this transition. So that was 2012. And we started the SEAL Future Foundation. So Allison and I started that to help SEALs transition. I can't believe that was like 14 years ago.
How about
that? That is nuts. And I mean, it's done a lot of amazing things today. Initially, it was set up to help guys find their next purpose, as mentioned. I couldn't stay on Wall Street, and a couple things had happened. One, I knew I was going to quit at some point. I needed a reason to quit. And Nick Check, who wasn't a close friend, but you know, a friend, was killed on a hostage rescue mission over at Damneck. So that I started getting the text, hey, did you hear Nick died? And that was just the opportunity for me to like, I'm out and I'm going back in. So there's team guy B-Rat who was at 10, and I reached out to him. I was like, hey man, I didn't quite think this through. I just quit my job. I'd like to come back in. He's like, I got you. Come back in with me. And then I went and talked to Allison. So I didn't converse.
Oh, well, you don't. Not,
I know,
that was a little reverse.
I mean, I was laying on a couch like this for a very long time. Yeah. Like, and I'm lucky to have even been in the house, right? Like, because that was ass backwards and selfish. And like, I don't even need to tell you, but my brain was not operating the way it should have been. And probably still doesn't at times. But yeah, it was tough because I didn't think I fit outside. I partially still feel that way at times. And I didn't think I could do anything else. And that's not true. That's the whole reason we set up the SEAL Future Foundation, was to help guys get mentors. Before you take a job on Wall Street, go sit in a chair on Wall Street. And that's just not who I am. I would have quickly realized that, but I didn't have a mentor. I didn't even know what the job was. I just committed to it. So, yeah. Oh
my gosh.
And movies we watch overseas make that look great. The Wall Street gig.
Yeah. So I ended up coming back in and went to 10 and did a couple deployments out there, Southcom, and we went, where did we go? Afghanistan. Yeah, a couple more deployments. And then the second.
Is that when Morgan was there?
Morgan and I deployed in Baghdad together.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he had just gotten commissioned.
Hmm.
Yeah. So he came to, I was working, Iraqi Special Forces Unit in ICTF and ERU, and he showed up there, and that was great to get to spend time with him. He's a great man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you came back and rotated out what year?
So that was 2013, and then I did another 4 years. So I ended up being all in. I did just under like about 15 years.
Did you go into reserves?
No.
Did you finish that out?
No.
Oh, bro.
I know. But the thing is, I think the Lord has helped me kind of navigate some of my pitfalls, but kind of put me on this course where I've gone off and I found it wasn't Goldman for me, nothing against Goldman, but it's just the culture wasn't a good fit for me. But I found another company through SFF, another finance firm, and was able to go there. So I was able to get a great job with an organization that was started by a veteran almost 100 years ago. It's called Capital Group. And I found a job that's akin to kind of what I need to do, not trading, but being a sales guy, like being out there, like sharing what I believe in and what I did at Capital Group. And I was able to make, you know, create a life for my family that I never thought possible. So I was able to do that. And with that plus SFF, I had the purpose, you know, I had the purpose at SFF. I had the ability to work at an organization that was, you know, the founding principles of like being in the military, that's still present at the company at Capital Group. Like our founder from 1931 still has all those principles. He got tired of people calling him sir. So he made everybody go by initials. My initials at Capital Group were JTDW because he didn't want anybody calling him sir anymore. No corner offices. You don't hear that on Wall Street. No corner office. All the offices at their LA building are like common areas. The leadership was sitting in the middle and kind of the bullpen. And I really appreciated how he took everything that he learned when he was in the military and brought it to Capital Group. So for me, it was good enough to be able to serve at Capital Group and then have the foundation at the same time. I was able to kind of white knuckle through that transition.
Are you still involved with SEAL Future?
No, we, so a couple things. Initially it was job placement, and then we lost Bill Mulder to suicide. So the story there was, we were supposed to meet with him on Monday, and I won't share the details, but over the weekend he took his life. Mm-hmm. And that was tough for our organization. And that's when we took a step back. I was like, hey, what are we doing? This is 2017. We're placing these guys, but a lot of them have like TBIs, some of them, you know, PTSD, a lot of them have some stuff they got to unpack, and we're setting them up for failure. So we started looking at the resources that were out there and realized, in my opinion, there was a disconnect. So it was like, hey, you got a TBI, take some SSRIs. Hey, go talk to this therapist. And what I was seeing was those therapists weren't quite trained in 2017 to have a conversation with a Marcus or a Morgan after they've seen or done the things that they've done. So the foundation, we just started building our own like wellness program, if you will. And we put wearables on guys. So 1500 SEALs, we gave out Whoop straps, and we were able to see through biometrics when guys started get into the dark place, because your heart rate variability is messed up, your sleep's completely trashed. We can see when people are drinking, and they gave us the authority to kind of step in. So when I saw that we could do that at the foundation, I truly believe this is, SEALs wasn't my purpose. I think obviously being a father and a Christian is, but I think the Lord has put me on this planet to really see this business that we're creating of helping as many people as possible with their mental health, preventing suicide, empowering them to be the best version they can be as a Christian or a husband or, you know, a wife or a brother, etc. So we took that idea from SFF and we created what we call EMV Mind Health. And once we did that, I wanted to be solely focused on one thing, and I'd never done that. So I turned over CEO for a few years and was only on the chair of SFF. And then about 3 years ago, I completely turned over SFF to the Young Bucks and the next generation of guys.
Nice.
Good for you, man.
Sounds like it's still doing well.
Yeah. No, one of my dear friends is the new chairman. His name's Brad Peters. He's a great guy. And the new leadership, they just, my replacement was Paul Toma. He was a West Coast SEAL.
Yeah.
And he just turned over. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. He just turned over so he did it for a few years, probably.
Good dude.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. he just turned over to the next CEO. So it's doing what,
yeah.
The vision was always like, hey, let's not go there and just do this for the rest of our lives. Like, let's go there, learn what we have to, make the relationships and take the next step. And it's cool to see that vision. It's almost like the teams, every few years you change commands. I dig that.
Yeah.
So
it keeps growing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because we're going to get, our ideas can only take us so far. Get the next group in there that has fresh ideas, fresh vigor, mm-hmm. et cetera. So it seems like it's knocking it out of the park now.
Yeah. That's awesome.
After I left.
It was never as good as it was when I was there, but yeah.
So you have helped develop Envy.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us about that. Like what,
how yeah.
can people get involved with that or use it?
So Envy Mind Health, INVI, stands for Invisible Visible. And it was just that same idea we had at SFF. Like, let's throw wearables on, you know, initially it was team guys, but veterans, first responders. And the vision is like as many people as we can at some point. But we're starting here. I didn't know how to build a tech company. I don't know how to, you know, we kind of fumbled our way through the foundation, and it's truly because there's great supporters in our communities and in this country that wanted to get behind the SEALs that helped us grow that. But I didn't really know how to build a business. So I got accepted into a program overseas. It's an Oxford MBA program, and it's an incubator for startups. So you pitch your idea and you're one of a few ideas selected. So I got to go spend 2 years off and on in Oxford, and my classmates got behind it, and we built the framework. Yeah.
I spent a week there.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Back. Yeah.
With Renee, we went and did a mental health summit there.
Come on.
Yeah.
Did you go to a college?
Yeah, we went to multiple. We went,
yeah.
I'd have to look at
Christ Church or
all of Keeble. Like we went to multiple a day. It was like a so 9-hour long thing a day.
Isn't it a beautiful?
It's gorgeous.
Freaking Harry Potter world over there.
Totally.
Man.
I have to admit, I did leave class early just to go explore.
Yeah, you got to do it. Yeah,
I'm not very academic. I should have never been there, but it was beautiful. And I was just excited to say that I went to Oxford for a week.
That's awesome. What was the program?
It's a mental health focus.
That's awesome.
So it's a bunch of different people coming together you should go for Indy next year.
I didn't even know this thing existed.
I'll send
it to
you.
Yeah, please do. Mm-hmm. We should all go. Get all our families out there.
Hey, I'm all for it.
A lot of Harry Potter was filmed out there.
Yeah. She was going to say, Alanis Morissette was one of the instructors out there.
Come on.
Yeah, uh-huh. I was like, I'm in.
Yeah, totally.
You know, there's a lot of really great instructors that have written books on various mental health things. They did talk a little bit. The reason Renee and I went is because they were talking about psychedelics with mental health.
Okay.
And we were just curious. I'm on the board for Americans for Ibogaine with Marcus and just an advocate for it. So it was just curiosity for me. Renee has more skin in the game as a coach.
Sure.
And so she was more interested on a, not therapist, but that kind of level.
Sure.
So she stayed in all her classes. I left a couple times.
Yeah. I would have been like you, exploring. There's so much cool stuff there.
Yeah. I would FaceTime Marcus. I'm like, look at this. It's so pretty.
Why aren't you in class?
Yeah.
Hey, we didn't pay for you to kind of do the tour. What are we doing? It's a beautiful campus. And it was amazing to have like that level of support, like the school.
Mm-hmm.
And then so how Oxford, and I know you know this, but you got Oxford proper and then you have colleges.
Yeah, all over.
Associated. And you gotta be a part of a college. So I was Keble College, and that's one of the relatively new ones. It was built in like 1800 and something. So that's like a newer college there. Like the old college, I think the oldest one is like 1000.
Yeah. The ones we were 60? In were super old.
So it's just like Harry Potter.
It's exactly like Harry Potter, yeah.
So lately I've been making an effort to stop doom scrolling and actually feed my brain, and that's led me to Masterclass. I just started diving into some of the business classes on there, and man, I'm hooked. I've been watching Sarah Blakely's class. She's the founder of Spanx, and honestly, I cannot get over how practical and inspiring her lessons are. She's talking about starting small, building something out of nothing, and just pushing through fear. It's incredibly helpful, and especially if you're looking to build something for yourself. And it's not just business. There's classes of all things. There's even poker strategy, sports mindset, and even daily habits from top performers that you can think sharper in literally any area of life. Whether you're into leadership, performance, creativity, or you just want to level up your routine, Masterclass has something for you. With plans starting at just $10 a month, billed annually, you can get unlimited access for over 200 classes from the best in the world, like James Clear, Ryan Holiday, Esther Perel, and there's so many more people on there. It is seriously such a game changer for me. I use this and you should too. Right now, our listeners get an additional 15% off any annual memberships at masterclass.com/TNQ. That is 15% off at masterclass.com/TNQ. Once again, it is masterclass.com/TNQ.
I don't know what mine would have been comparable to. The only thing that comes to
Slytherin
mind
is Slytherin. House, yeah.
That was the old Johnny. The new one is like whatever the opposite of that is. But that's where we built it. Like it helped me get an understanding of how you would start a business, like the framework, like everything from like, this is how you go do your Delaware C. Here's your business plan. Here's what marketing. I had like marketing classes. So any class that we had, here's accounting, how you would apply accounting to this. And then we ended up launching in 2023. So a Delaware C, and we built and again, I'm not a tech person, but we hired people, we raised money, and we created a machine learning algorithm And this is pre-AI. So we spent over $1 million building an algorithm that pulls all the biometrics from any wearable you got. We don't care. And we help you get your mind score. So we pull that. There's a qualitative. We work with doctors from Walter Reed, and it gives you your mind score. What's really important is our whole system is built off of what we call rules engine. So if the mind score is an 80 and it decreases by a couple points, well, it alerts you. Self-aid, buddy aid, Corman aid, because we're not creative here. Self-aid is you get world-class experts come in and there's like, hey, your deep sleep's messed up. Here's some sleep hacks. You know, your heart rate's super high. Think about doing some of these things. So it'll give you customized solutions to you. If you get to a darker spot, say it goes from an 80 to like a 70, a big drop, then it's going to alert your swim buddy. You pick who your swim buddy is. So it could be your wife, could be, you know, your family, could be a teammate, your actual swim buddy. And then it alerts them. It's like, hey, check in on Marcus today because, you know, his scores over the last 3 days has significantly dropped. Something's off. Like we're seeing sleep disrupted. We won't tell that information. All we say is like your mind scores decreased. And now this year, we're going to start introducing like trained therapists and psychologists and coaches on the platform. So if you're at a spot now, it's just like, I can't figure this out. My teammates, like, you know, my swim buddy is not able to, I just need to talk to somebody. Well, we can localize the doctors that we trust in this community that are, you know, in this vicinity, and you can reach out to them and have a conversation with them.
I love that.
Yeah. And today we've worked with, I mean, it's hard. It's one of the hardest things I've ever done. I got a great team. I got one of my teammates here. We go around initially. Again, we wanted to support our local communities. How we wanted to do that was law enforcement and first responders, because they're seeing some pretty gnarly stuff. You think firefighters and stuff like that. So we're trying to help them get optimal. So that's what we were just doing here in Houston. We were just working with the Houston SWAT.
I was talking to some guys the other day about you should be assigned a swim buddy when you get out of teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guy who gets out right ahead of you, that's your partner, and you're together for life.
Totally.
And then every Sunday or every other Sunday, you just check in.
Yep. Yeah. So imagine this. Now you're going to have a platform, because what was happening was you and I are best friends, right? And I known you. We went to Buds together, whatever. Like, you know, and I know you're off. You know when he's off, better said, right? And you ask him, maybe you guys have a different relationship, but what if I were to ask him, historically, you're just like, I'm okay. I'm good. And we just let it go. Well, now you have the authority because you have the data to challenge the okay. He's like, dude, you're lying. What's up, man? I'm not trying to call you out, but I want to help. What's going on? It's like, all right, I got in a fight with the old lady. Like I'm staying in a hotel. I was like, dude, what the hell? Let's just figure this out. So now we have the data to kind of force the conversation and be proactive versus waiting until it gets to that spot that we've all been in. Well, we're spiraling. We were just talking about that outside, and we're just ready to implode this whole thing.
Yeah. Because, you know, when team guys start to spiral, they'll pull away.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like they don't want to detonate next to their buddy. All of us, they'll go away. Like jump. They got to somehow, some way, picked up a grenade, and they're running away to go detonate it.
That's right.
And I don't know why we do that, but we do.
I know. Even now, like, I catch myself. I mean, I was just sharing with Josh, like, I mean, we got a mental health business, right? Like, and even now, I'm doing that exact thing, same thing you're saying. Like, I feel myself like pulling away a little bit. I feel myself like, okay, something's off. I feel the devil at work here, and I'm in scripture every day. It's just like it's relentless attacks. And what do? I push those that want to help me most away. I push my wife away. I push my friends away. I'm like, I don't know what it is about that, man. And thank goodness we have this thing where you can kind of check in on us. But even then, I'm like, I don't want to hear this, man. Like.
Mm-hmm. Don't reach out to me. I think about that a lot.
Yeah.
While we push those closest to us, that's like, because you, even if we don't say it out loud, it's like, hey, man, I picked up something evil. And even though I can contain it on the inside, even if I try to say something nice to you, it's going to come across mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
So I'll either walk away, I'll go away, or we'll push them away, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just to try and fight it.
If he gets super quiet and does not talk to me all day, I know it's nothing I did. I know he's fighting something that jumped on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still to get after it all. All the fast, everything like that. I mean, you know, it's a fight. Yeah. And the better you get it, the way I try to explain it is like, hey, man, prize fighters, when you get into the ring with somebody and you whip them, your next fight is going to be tougher.
Yeah.
It's not going to be easier. That's how fighting works.
That's right.
So.
Oh, I like that.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, yeah. When I heard that, I was like, oh, I felt that.
I like that.
That kind of unlocked something inside of me. So then you look at it like, well, we're designed to start for fighting.
Yep.
That's what we are. So your ass, the minute that door opens up, you walk out there, be prepared for one.
Yep.
Because if you're not, then you're not doing your injustice to yourself, and that pisses you off.
Yeah.
As so a wife, though, I feel like wives always think it's their fault. And so then it becomes a fight. It's like, well,
yeah,
what did I do? Why are you being like that to me? When it has absolutely nothing to do with us. So true. And
we don't know how to communicate that to you. And you can't communicate it to us. You're fighting inside right now. You're just like, it's not about you.
Yeah.
And then it turns into
this. And I guess that's an ego thing. We bring it on us because we think, well, if you're not talking to me, then it has to be something I did. Just tell me what I did. And that was something that we battled for many, many years until I did 5-MeO. And that is what 5-MeO did for me, was it let me know it's not me. And to let him fight his battles and just be there and let him know that you're there.
Yeah.
But it's not my battle to fight. That's his.
Yeah. Well, I had to do that third round because you know when you're just sitting there and then the anger jumps in?
Mm-hmm.
Like everything's great. And no one could even be around. All of a sudden you just get pissed. And I couldn't understand that. I don't know.
Yeah.
And that would aggravate me. I'm like, I was in the best mood. And then the wind blew a different direction or nothing even changed. And I turned my head and something jumped in there. I needed to be able to deal with that.
Yeah.
That's why I went back in there.
And I didn't understand that. I'm like, how could you get mad when nothing happened?
Like, you know,
isn't that the craziest?
It is. I think because I'm kind of going through this right now. Like I love the holidays. All my kids came home. Like again, we're blessed. But when I sit still for too long, idle hands, like, or if I don't put like positive thoughts or like a purpose in here, something jumps in there. And when it does, it's just like, okay, like I don't know, maybe it's a demon. Maybe it's like bad energy, whatever we want to think about. I don't know, but next thing you know, it's 180 and it's like that. Mm,
dude, quick.
It's so
maybe
fast.
It's already in there.
Yeah.
That's why I like on my phone, all those apps, I have them. It's sending me like scripture and positive reinforcements all day.
Yeah.
And I feed it till I go to bed. Because you're right. If I'm just sitting there kind of just doing the thing and all of a sudden I'm not thinking about anything, it's like, hey, clear your mind. It's like, you don't want me to do that.
Yeah.
You don't want me to be feeding that thing positive
that's right.
attitude, positive motivation the entire time these eyes are open.
Yep.
Because for whatever we had to become to do, we had to become terrorists. That's what we are, right? Yep. I mean, that's who we were fighting, so that's what we had to become.
Yeah.
And God's Warriors of Terror, GWATs, right?
That's right.
And we just kind of sitting around there doing nothing. And I was like, let's go terrorize some or something. You know, it just shows up.
Yeah.
That's why I'm always reading. That's how I have to beat it.
That's great. I saw that app that starts sending you scripture. I'm going to get that.
Three different ones. The Hallow app is amazing.
I'm going to do the Hallow. I got the Bible app right now. And every morning, Allison and I wake up and we do our verse. I think I shared with you all earlier. We journal around it. That's been helpful. That's how I start my day. And the day could go off and be tremendous, and the day like 2 minutes later could go off and just a grenade went off and I'm like ready to like burn shit down.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That constant drip, I really appreciate that. I'm gonna add that to my tools. That's great.
The best is when you're about to have a moment and that phone jingles and you pull it out and it's something from scripture and it hits hard.
Oh,
and you're
man.
Like, that was holy moments. You're like, thanks, I needed that. And you reholster the pistol and you're like, I'm good for another 5 minutes. What are we doing? And then it's just practice.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you just get good at it. And then time to take one, like to chow. Just go to, I'm going to make it to chow, right?
That's right.
And I had to start, that's how far back I had to go.
That's good too.
I had like a team guy, man. I was like, hey, man, if we're starting off in the beginning, we'll start in the beginning then.
Yeah.
So how can like anyone download this app?
Yeah. So there is, because our mission is to save lives by making the invisible visible. And now we've modified it since we started because we want to help other people, and that phrase can scare people off, and that's not our intention. So we save our mission is to save or improve lives by making the invisible visible using technology, etc. So in the App Store, there's a free version. You can go in there and you can have a swim buddy or, you know, a couple swim buddies. You just go in there and it's going to start alerting you. Like again, when Marcus isn't doing well, it'll just shoot you a quick text and you guys can create that. in about 2 to 3 months, we're going to have a Teams version in there. So we're building this where now you can have your whole family on there and you guys can support cool. each other.
Platoon.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can have your old buds class. You brought up Clint Burke earlier. You can hold the whole buds class on there. That's how I'm thinking about this. Let's have our platoon, maybe at team 10, it was like Alpha platoon, whatever. I want those guys on there. And when I was at four, you know, my
different. See who can become the best version of themselves. Make totally. It a competition. Who can be the best?
Well, that's funny you bring that up because what we saw at Steel Future Foundation, we threw all 1,500 SEALs and we gave them access to everybody's data. We don't do that here, but we did because they said we could. And here's what happened. The whole thing self-corrected. The guys at the bottom were like, okay, I'm a team guy and I don't like being at the bottom. What's going on here?
Boom.
And the whole 1,500 shifted up. It was the coolest thing to see. We didn't do anything. We didn't say, hey, do breath work. We didn't even know what we were doing back then, right? But when they saw where they were at and they... Nobody wants to be on the bottom of that totem pole. They started asking the guys up top.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
I don't want to be that guy.
No.
So what are you guys doing up there? And it's like, oh, well, I'm not drinking. It's like, well, let me try that. I'm working. This is what I'm doing for workout. I'm not doing West Side Barbell, like throwing out my back every other workout. It's like, all right, well, I'll try to do cardio then. And the next thing you know, these guys all self-correcting themselves. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So that's the whole idea behind the Teams thing is like, get an old platoon on there. You guys can, it's going to elevate everybody.
They'll fix you.
Totally.
They'll fix you.
And then we'll provide all the other stuff that we've been talking about and that we've been privy to, like the breath work. We'll do the meditation, the box breathing. We'll do belly breathing. We'll do ride the breath. All those things will be in there now. And it's not just going to be us giving it. We're going to get guys from the command, like the human performance team. We're going to get guys from other organizations that we've been a part of to come in there. We just want to show what worked for us, still learning, obviously, and then give that gift to the world because it saved our lives.
Yeah. Better get right with God.
Yep. And that's going to be another thing in there. Like the scripture is going to be in there too. So you're going to get, we don't know.
All what three.
We're daily yeah. doses of Marcus.
Mind, body, and spirit. Covering
yep.
all three.
Yep.
Mind, body, and spirit. Because totally. If you don't train one of them, the other two will collapse on top of it.
Yeah. That's right. That's so true, man. You can get peak in two of those. And it's a stool. One of those legs, you're going to just fall over every
and you got to have all three.
Single time.
Well, we talked about this because last year his resolution was to strengthen mind, body, spirit. And he did all three. He even started going back to CrossFit for like weight training and that kind of stuff. And it wasn't until he did the fast when he realized the body also includes what you put in your body. And he had already removed alcohol. He did that 4 years ago, but it was the good things like food is medicine, that kind of talk. And yep. So that's what he really has been working on.
Probably has fettuccine Alfredo and steak for every freaking meal, dude. So, I mean, like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, I didn't even think about
lobster,
it.
Lobster mac and cheese.
Yeah, yeah. You know, who cares? I mean, creamy horseradish, you know, whatever you get your hands on, man.
You literally ate steak.
Every, for every meal.
Every single day.
That stuff works when you're in and you're doing in the life. But man, when you get out and then I hit 50, it's just like, bro, you can't eat like that.
Yeah. We went to Del Frisco's last night.
And so good.
I was like, I can't eat steak, man. I got halibut last night because I know myself well enough because I've removed all those toxins and poisons now, like alcohol. I love red meat. But if I eat red meat after a certain time, I'm going to be up all night. My gut is just going to be decomposing, breaking down that meat in my gut. And I see it every time. I track all my biometrics. I get no REM, no deep. I get a broken sleep, like 42 disturbances. It's kind of worth it, but not all the time. So I was like, I got to get fish tonight, man. I got to get a good night rest.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you, bro. Like, studying it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I had no idea how ignorant I was in that realm.
In nutrition. Yeah.
You know, you think, okay, what healthy food is, just put that in your body. That's no. And there's timing, too, with everything. I wasn't doing that right. Like, my timing was off.
Totally.
And it kind of explained it to me as a mechanism of a race car. It's like, hey, man, we're working out. We're doing this. Mm-hmm. This is when you put this fuel in there as opposed to this fuel.
Yeah.
And because the technology we have allows you to study that.
That's right.
And then once I got interested, I saw it working. I could feel it. Yep. I was like, all right. So... And then it would say, look, eat a lot of this. And I liked hearing that. And I was like, oh, okay. You know how much freaking lettuce you got to put in this body to fill it up?
When you say a lot to Marcus, that's like
I'm gonna eat all of it.
Quadruple of what the normal lot is.
Yeah.
But then it started working. So I got interested in it. Yeah. And then once you get that bite, it's kind of like, oh, all right, cool, man. Let's see what we can make this thing do.
Yeah. That's honestly what it was that's what how this whole thing happened. So I began, and at the time, this was 2018, and I had just gotten a Whoop strap, and my heart rate variability. So the higher it is, the healthier you are. It's indicative of just being overall health. There is some genetics involved with that, but mine was really low, like super low, to the point where Whoop, they're a big company now, but they only had a couple employees. They reached out. I was like, hey, everything good. And it's just like, it's indicative of stress. And I was running SFF at the time. I was deploying. I was trying to be a good husband, and I wasn't doing a great job there or being a good father. I didn't, you know, I was kind of failing in those areas. So my stress was just, HRV was really low. I ended up getting that spot where I was like, what else do I have to lose? I saw a buddy of mine, Will Cheese, who had just done it. And when I saw him with long hair and like glowing like Jesus, I was like, dude, I don't know what you did. It sounds crazy, but okay, I might do this as well. And I ended up doing it. I tracked my biometrics before and after. So before, I was getting minutes, like teens, like 15, 20 minutes of deep and REM sleep. And then, so no recovery, and my heart rate was in the teens as well. Like it was an average of 15. I did one Ibogaine plus the 5-MeO through the program. And when I got back from that, my heart rate variability was in the 50s. And my deep and REM went to 2 hours apiece.
That's good.
2 hours apiece from one, like just completely like reset everything that was going on, all the neurotransmitters, and gave me an opportunity to like breathe, dude. You don't have to be hyper vigilant all the time. So yeah, after that,
good
I was
that
like,
feels when you sleep.
Oh,
team yeah. guy, you forget how to sleep.
Totally,
you can do that. That's a real thing.
It was awesome. Can... I'm struggling with my sleep again, and I think I feel the medicine potentially calling.
It's calling back.
I think so.
Yeah, it does that.
Yep.
So back to my question, yeah. I could download this app today.
You can. So. The reason why I'm hesitating is because the next version of the app comes out in about 2 weeks.
Okay.
So I would hold off. By the time this goes live, I don't know when this would go live, but yeah. if we could time it for that, that'd be really cool because then people can just go.
Send us the date. We'll launch it out. We'll have perfect. It ready to stand by.
Okay. That'd be great. They can download it live and you can go in there and you can get your family on there and you'll be able to set up any wearable. You have multiple wearables because when I run, I wear my Garmin, but when I sleep, I take all this off and I just use my ring. So it'll pull biometrics from whatever. And then you can just start playing with it. And then we would love feedback. If you're like, I don't get this or I don't like this, tell us and then we'll fix it. And
so you can sync your Aura or your Garmin or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool.
It is.
I'm excited. Babe, you're going to be my swim buddy.
Amen, baby. Okay. Got you back.
And Hunter, you're on there too. Part of our platoon. Okay.
Just remember that when you go... If you're out partying or in Australia, just make sure you're going to be getting a lot of calls.
What's this kid doing?
Be mindful.
He's 27. He can take anything.
I already track him. I already know where he is at all times. Right.
Yeah.
Well, great job, Bryn. Thanks for coming out.
Hey, thank you for having us. Man. Yeah. Love you guys. Appreciate you all. Thanks for everything you guys are doing.
The Team Never Quit podcast is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal's new Cash Rewards Plus card will have you earning unlimited 2% cash back on every purchase. Learn more at NavyFederal.org.